Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look today at Luke chapter 12 as Jesus continues his ministry and movement toward Jerusalem and ultimately toward the cross. Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself and what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Remember, Jesus has just had a very awkward dinner party. He was invited by a Pharisee to his house and proceeded to not follow the Pharisee's scrupulous customs about washings. And then he began to pronounce woes against the Pharisee. And then when the lawyers got mad, he pronounced woes against them. So it's in the context of this. And then we should also mention that just prior, several chapters prior, Jesus has sent out the 70 ahead of him to prepare the way ahead of him. So when we get to chapter 12, we have thousands. We have a huge crowd, and they're pressing upon Jesus. And it's interesting that it's at this moment, on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to be crucified, in the midst of a huge crowd, that Jesus begins to warn his disciples about bad influences, about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So it reflects that Jesus doesn't trust crowds. It reflects that Jesus has just been rejected by the Pharisees. And it shows Jesus preparing his disciples for the opposition to them that will come as they continue his mission after his resurrection. The image of leaven, of course, goes all the way back to the Exodus. When Israel left Egypt, they couldn't have leavened bread. They had to clean all the leaven out, and they had unleavened bread. But if you've ever used leaven or you've ever made bread, it's a great image for some secret force that's working, that's hidden, that you can't see, but that after time is incredibly evident. It's one of the most remarkable things, and I think everybody, even if they've never made bread or don't want to make bread, take some dough and water, put yeast in it, and leave it for some time and come back. It's incredible, the impact. Jesus is saying that the influence of the Pharisees is like that. At first you can't see it. At first you don't notice it, but in time, hypocrisy will out. Somebody can make a really good showing. They can go to church and go to home group. They can do a lot of the things that seem to make them evidently a follower of Jesus. But Jesus says, give it time. In time, you will see, because there are hidden forces in the background that will eventually bear obvious fruit. And so Jesus is warning against that influence. Now, I would suggest that one of the problems with the Pharisees that has just been exhibited is that they have a view of the kingdom as separation. They have a view of holiness as separation and maybe even judgment. And Jesus comes issuing a view of the kingdom as mercy and a kingdom as extending mercy. And so, at any rate, Jesus is warning them that the influence of those guys is bad. You need to watch out for it. And then he goes on to talk about fear. Of course, Jesus himself is getting ready to face something very fearful. In fact, he's going to face the death of the body. And so it's beautiful the way our Lord teaches, don't fear people who can kill the body. And then he goes and faces those who can kill the body, and he doesn't fear them. But notice that he says, fear him who, after he's killed the body, can cast you into hell. This is one of the clearest teachings that Jesus has on hell, especially in Luke. Obviously, it comes, many people have heard, from the image of the garbage dump in Jerusalem that had all kinds of the gross refuse of the city there and literal fires burning all the time. And so it's an image of absolute destruction and absolute judgment. And he says that is the appropriate fear to have. All of us have fear. These days of COVID have shown us that we live, I think, in a very fearful society. Jesus says we're not to fear death. We're not to fear people who can bring death or forces who can bring death. Our foundational fear should be the fear of God. And as Proverbs tells us, that's the beginning of wisdom. When we begin to care most what God thinks of us, that puts us on a path of wisdom. And how many people really do that? How many people really stop to consider, what does God really think of me? Well, when you begin to do that, you're on the beginning of the path of discipleship and the path of Jesus. And then he goes on to say that what's great about the fear of God is he cares about us. He knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows us intimately. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. He pays attention to every single insignificant little bird. How much more those creatures that are made in his image? And so it's an encouragement to fear him who cares for us, whom we find ultimately that we're in his care. It's the safest place to be. Finally, we get one of these hard sayings. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. I think Jesus is speaking about the stages of his ministry, or the stages of ministry. This time that we see in the Gospels is the time of Jesus. And of course, we know that many are going to speak against him and his disciples will abandon him, but they'll be forgiven. What's the next stage? Well, the next stage is the stage of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the church with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel, to lift up who Jesus is, to bring conviction. And I think Jesus is saying, look, I came and I'm going to be despised and rejected, but I came to bring forgiveness. But the Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction. And if someone ultimately resists the message of the gospel that is delivered by the church in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're not going to receive forgiveness. That is the way to forgiveness. And if they don't receive it, that is to their ultimate condemnation. So I think Jesus is speaking of these stages of the unfolding of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel. And then finally, one last thing I'll note is that Jesus says, listen, you're going to face a lot of opposition. You're going to face trials. They're going to bring you before various synagogues and secular leaders. And you don't need to study up. You don't need to prepare for that. What you need to do is daily ask your Father for the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus has already said, he is delighted to give his children the Holy Spirit. He says, that's what you need. You don't need to bone up on books of apologetics, although I'm sure Jesus wouldn't think that that's a bad thing. What you do need daily is to ask your Father for the Holy Spirit and to learn to walk in the Spirit and hear the Spirit so that when the time comes, you have what you need. Who better to speak than the Holy Spirit himself? Jesus, in the Gospel of John, calls himself the first advocate, and he says the Holy Spirit is the second advocate, one who speaks on your behalf. So who better than the Spirit of the living God to give us the words to say in times of trial, in times of people criticizing us? We know then that we have what we need. So may we learn to continually ask our Father, and may we learn to fear our Father who loves us and cares for us, so that we can be ready witnesses in any time. And may we be prepared for whatever may come. I think it's worth acknowledging that there's a lot of maybe rights that are being lost, but Christians do not face persecution in the United States of America. So may this reminder of Jesus give us a heart towards disciples all over the world who really do face that persecution and really do find the help of the Holy Spirit in those times of need to deliver what words they need to deliver. Amen.